Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was fired by something, church. I've been very, very disturbed about the very serious observation I took concerning this move of God, the end time message that God gave us through that minister of William Branham. I've been very, very disturbed. I never met William Branham. You all know he died in 1965. But I came across the message he preached. And I found that that was the only place that I received answers to questions that I had after I became a Christian. So many people going to church. Many of us going to church. We go to church not because of a revelation we have caught or an experience we have with God. Many of us are going to church because when we are born in a Christian home, we grew up going to church. We are just religious people. But I'm telling you, church, if you are in Christ because you were looking for God and you came to Christianity, if you are sincere with yourself, you will ask some questions. The reason why there are a lot of confusion going on everywhere, the kind of Christians we have today, is because we have refused to ask some questions. And he who seeks will find. And for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer. It's a Bible answer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have the bright television. And people ask, what is the reason for establishing this channel and spending so much money to keep that channel on, a satellite channel for that matter? The reason is very simple. If you have a product to sell, you must market it. Amen. We have a market to sell. We have a product to sell. Amen. When I was interviewed recently, I was telling them, I said, the reason is throughout these years I've been a Christian, every denomination that believes they have something to say, they have all manner of means. The internet, the books, the whatever it is, and television channels abound everywhere. And as I try to listen to them, I discover none of them has a message. No message. Error smuggled itself into Christianity and took a frontline seat. And error is being propagated, and error has gone on for so long until it has come to be accepted as truth. But suddenly, amen, we also penetrated that market. I am telling you that right now, among all the Christian channels on satellite, but this is become one of the favorite of all Christians. And I received a text yesterday from Cameroon. Maybe you are hearing us now from Cameroon. And your advice to us in that mail is that we should... You are so blessed by the ministry. You were so excited. But you want to advise that I should preach and stop calling names of ministers. Amen. Praise the Lord. The problem with my brother is that that spirit has caught up with you. He's Judas, not a minister. Was Judas not called by Jesus Christ? Is there anybody now that is more called than Judas? Judas Iscariot. And all of us preach and mention Judas. But you don't want to mention the modern day Judases. If we know their name, we will call their names. Praise the Lord. Instead of you to listen to what I am saying, you are getting offended by your idolatrous spirit, idolizing human beings, making them what God did not make them. Praise God. Now this is where I am going tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I gave my life to Christ, I said there were questions. As I read this Bible, and I turned to look at what is practiced from this Bible, certainly I saw many things that were contrary to the pattern here in the Bible. And I began to ask questions. And to answer me, God led me to see the ministry of William Marion Branham. Amen. Hallelujah. And why I say so is, I pick my text so that you understand where I am going. Amen. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 2. So that you, let's flow from there. So that you understand why I'm saying it so hard. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 42, from verse 41. And his parents went to Jerusalem, that is the parents of Jesus Christ, every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feasts. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now listen, church. This is where I am going. They were supposed to be with Jesus. And they traveled after the feast. Remember, it was after the feast. And they left, supposedly going back to their home. And they thought Jesus Christ was with him. With them. And they traveled up to 3 days' journey before they realized how far they went. Before they realized that Jesus was not with them. It means all those 3 days they were moving, they thought Jesus Christ is with them. They assumed that Jesus Christ was with them. Until they had gone 3 days before they realized that Jesus that was supposed to be with them, they were supposed to be the custodian of Jesus Christ. They were supposed to be the keepers, the caretakers. But he was supposed to be with them for 3 days. They did not know he was not with them. You think that story is there for Joseph and Mary? No. That story is there for you and for me. Both as an individual and as a church corporate. As individuals, some of us, we met with Jesus in one way or the other. And after the revival, the feast, you have left, going on your Christian journey. But unknown to you, he has left you. And you are assuming that he is with you. And you are walking. Until you suddenly discover he is not with you. So also with the church of Jesus Christ. They enjoyed the revival. From the day of Pentecost, they moved on. Let me even come to 1906, our own age. As was a revival that God came down without controversy. And the Pentecostal movement started. And they are there moving. And the church moved on and moved on and moved on. But unknown to them, Jesus Christ is no more with them. And they don't know it. I move again to the end time message. A lot of people carry the sermon books of William Branham. Moving the same way again. The revival. When this message, I had the history. When this message came into this country in the late 80s and 70s, the people that received it, serious revival. Amen. It shook the whole world. William Branham would gather hundreds of thousands of people anywhere he reached. Mighty miracles, signs, and wonders. Everywhere they went. I am saying this, praise God. I'm saying this because I am speaking to the whole world and they are hearing me even now. Or sometimes, someday they will hear it. Amen. I came across this message first and foremost. He said, prison yard. And I was not a Christian before I was inside that prison yard. But there the Lord met with me. And shortly after this enter message, met me in that same prison yard. That was in 1989. And from the messages they sent to me there, I read, I had a picture of if these denominations are wrong, then we have found the correct thing. I had a picture of what the true church will look like. I was anxious to be released so that I would come and meet my brethren. But when I came out, hey! It was like a dream. Complete up opposite of my expectation. A group of people that were disunited. A group of people that lacked focus. A group of people that were just intellectuals following the truth in the letter and preaching the truth in all manner of unrighteousness. Complete difference. The lack of the move of the Spirit in their midst. Nothing to confirm the word. No gifts of the Spirit. No life. Yet, I had not too much to go back to the denomination. But there was no alternative to what I had. I had to be in their midst, moving from one church to the other. Until I had the opportunity to pastor this place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they called me all manner of names. Because I will not go their own order. Amen. Listen, church. Now, enter message churches all around the world. You know, they are all little groups. Now, Voice of God Recording, they are those who have taken upon themselves a ministry to send the messages of William Branham around the world. And each time they are representative in Nigeria here, each time I went there to make requests, because they send them to churches free, brethren from all around the world, they contribute money, they send their offerings there, and then they print these books and they send them to us. And I wanted to meet, I kept talking to their representative here, that you want to put me in trouble, you give me some few copies of these sermon books. Who will I give and who will I not give? We are many. He kept saying a lie, there is no church as big as that. Oh, you have visit us now. His doctrine will not allow him to visit any church. And yet he said, believer of the message. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They believe thunder has been revealed. And I say thunder has not been revealed. That's the reason. That's part of the confusion in the entire message. And so, I decided to say, okay, let me go to where the books are produced. I show them evidence that we are many. So that they will put us into consideration, give us special consideration, and send our books to us. Brethren, I traveled and I went there with expectation. I was there with my wife. With expectation, let us go and see where this message came from. We went to Abraham Tabernacle. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. When I got there, hey! My wife is here, she can bear me witness. Throughout the period we were there, she knew it. I was sad and sad and sad and sad. I met a place more dead than a graveyard. More dead than a graveyard. Spiritually dead. The church where people had to relocate from their states to come and live in that area because of that ministry. The church that set a revival through that man, William Marion Branham, that went around the whole world. When I stood on that pulpit in Abraham Tabernacle, I was saying, this is where the pillar of fire came. This is where this man stood and preached. The whole world. And I turned and I looked. There were less than 200 people there. And 70% of them are old men and women. And when I say old men and women, I mean an average age of, 75. The rest may be children. I mean children. From their, maybe grandchildren, because once their children grow, The no green follow them. Many of them take off. They are the old men. The pastor there must be 80 something years old. And his wife too, walking on walking stick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the service I attended there, I stood there at the back. Inside, I was sitting down asleep. They catch me for church. Praise the Lord. And the interesting thing there is, they believe that God is still with them. I traveled, I left there, and I went to Third Assembly Church, Raymond Jackson. They had a convention going on. So I had the privilege of attending two of their services. As dead as a graveyard. And that was supposed to be an international meeting. I was taken out for lunch with my wife. They were asking me during the lunch. They were asking me, what's the size of your church? I said, well, I'm pastoring a church that is over 5,000. They said, huh? I said, possible? And one of them said, yeah, I know that there are churches like that in Congo. That are large churches like that. Believe the message. So I told them, I said, yes, the pillar of fire has left America for Africa. And that is the truth. Why are they all old people in that church? They are the ones that witnessed the ministry of William Branham. They are the ones that are sure they saw him. But what else do you have to attract anybody from the street? Especially in a highly developed society like America and like Europe, there is nothing to attract anybody. Where sugar there, ants will locate it. For where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. I was sad. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the pattern. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. It said, but rather that you make your calling and election sure. Turn to this exhortation. Is making your calling and election sure. Where we come for nothing but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why would Peter say make your calling and election sure? Why? Jesus was with his parents. And Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And the Word of God has been committed to a group of people in this age. And that Word, hallelujah, is no more with them and they don't even know it. The Word of God is not just the letter of the Bible. Everybody has it in his house. Everybody has it in the bookshop. You even have it in your handsets, in your notebooks, or whatever in the column. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Rhema. The Rhema. I am talking about the reality of this world. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know also there is an opposite. After Jesus Christ resurrected, The story went round the whole town. Confusion. Did he, they said they go to the grave. They didn't see him again. No. They said. And some two disciples were on the way going to Emmaus. And Jesus appeared and was walking with them. And they were discussing, and they didn't know that Jesus was with them. That is the opposite of Mary and Joseph. In the case of Mary and Joseph, he was not with them, and they didn't know that he was not with them. But these two disciples on the way to Emmaus, I think that's Luke 24, he was with them, and they didn't even know he was with them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But my attention is not on those who have Jesus and they don't know that he's with them. And I'm bold to say that group is Bride Assembly. We here. He's here with us and we don't know he's with us. One day you will know when God, Christ, opened their eyes. Then they saw that he was there. Something will happen to you that will open your eye in the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm looking at it so that we don't get into the same mistake that others have entered into. At least, my prayer is that it will never happen in my lifetime. If I die before Christ comes, anything that happens, I don't know. But while I'm alive, we will keep the fire burning. We will keep the light shining. Christianity is not in words only. Christianity is a total package. You must have the ability, you must have the revelation. And you must, there must be a vindication of that revelation. God must do something to confirm that what you are saying is the truth. And the words that we speak, they are supposed to be spirit and they are supposed to be life-giving words. And therefore, there must be conversion in our midst. Number one vindication that what we are preaching here is not the doctrine of man, but it's the word of God, is that the word of God, if it is the word of God, there is a life in it. The people that receive it, they will have the effect by a changed life. Sinners will be converted. People will fear God. Even if they don't want to be converted, they will fear him. Oh yes. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, a minister was telling me during the week of a young man. It's a very funny minister here. He said, "Pastor, we need money now. Somebody wants to give more than 40 million naira to build this thing we are looking for at the back there, at the office block." He said that the person come meet and tell and say, in the come this church, he sees how they look on it. He said that he wants to give, but he go confess so in business, na cocaine business. Praise the Lord. I said he should have just quietly come to drop the money and go. But that he is saying that it is cocaine, I say, it is now a trial of my faith. I say, go and tell him, I am not pretending to be a Christian. I say, if you come and drop that money, now that he has said it, that will be the end of his cocaine business. Praise the Lord. I say, go and tell him that. Maybe he's sitting down here today. Hear it now. Don't come here and play with God. Nobody can help God. Nobody can help God. If God wants a better building than this,
He knows what to do. There was one time he didn't have money to pay his tax, his tribute. What did he do? He went to the sea and caught a fish and coughed out money out of it. God knows how to go to the world there and get money for his business. Praise the Lord. Then I sat the minister down and began to preach to him. When the Bible says we are not unaware of the device of the enemy, then you understand. When Satan is after you, he doesn't come, he comes small, small. Why do you see pastors who used to preach against fornication before, suddenly they will stop and say, it is grace now, it is grace now. What happened is, one girl has seduced him and he has fallen. So now, the word of fornication has been taken out of his mouth. That's all Satan wanted to achieve. And that is how people started deviating. And that is how we move away from God without knowing it. That is when temptation comes. When did he appear to Jesus? He didn't appear to Jesus until he made sure Jesus was hungry after 40 days, 40 nights. Then he appeared. If thou be a son of God, you are feeling hungry now. Why are you bothering yourself? In all this hunger, when you have the ability, you have the power. Turn these stones to bread and chop. How hungry the wearer. And maybe he will carry some bread, make the smell, make it hear the smell. So that the hunger will increase. It's true. Because they know we need money. All manner of people will now come, Satan will push them. Push cocaine pusher to come and give us money. Push 419 to come and give us money. And before they give you, they know you have need now. They say, see, oh, pastor, I'm not a liar. And they do 419. But my heart tell me, say, make I give this church money. Then, blind pastors, we say, God bless you. The riches of the hidden. They have scripture to quote to support their evil. That is how many of us have fallen. Pastor, you are hearing me now. Wherever you are, hearing me now. And why should you do that? Because he will deal with your conscience. The difference between us and unbelievers is God has dealt with our conscience. There's a spirit there. There's a voice that speaks to you whenever you do something wrong. And Satan wants to silence that voice that speaks to you. So what he does is, you start small, small. He go warn you. You start small, small. Small, small. Do it now, you can confess. Do it now and confess later. Do it now and confess. Small time, you will not hear that voice again. Then you will do it now. You will hear the voice again. Then you go say, nothing is wrong. You don't hear them again. The Bible said their conscience is what? Seared with what? Hot iron. That is when you can stay. And you can see a pastor now has girlfriends in the church. And nothing is wrong. And he's preaching and anointing. He's jumping nyafu nyafu. Why? It didn't start like that. Something happened. And because he's not seeing the hammer of God hammering him, he's thinking that he's still right with God. After all, the anointing is still flowing. Oh, not to them. God has departed.